Hello everybody, this is Tantra FM and I'm your host Valentino. Today we shall be dealing with the following articles. A general introduction to Tantra Yoga. Tantra Yoga offers an alternative and practical individual road to salvation, called a sadhana, besides the Vedic one, which is often deemed to be antiquated. It is important to remember that the true tantric sadhana is accessible for people of any caste, social status, age, for women as well as men, householders and ascetics. Love making, the beauty of it. Nobody will ever succeed in attaining perfection through difficult or long and boring procedures. However, perfection can be attained quite easily through the satisfaction of all your desires, according to Kularnava Tantra. Find out more about this apparent contradiction. And finally, join us for a contemplative meditation on the state of tender passion at the end of our broadcast. General Introduction to Tantra Yoga. Part 1. The Sanskrit word Tantra literally means warp, on a loom, or extension. It comes from the verbal roots tan, to stretch or to expound, and tra, to save, which gives further hints upon the other meanings of the word Tantra. This name is applied both for a certain category of texts of Oriental spirituality and for the doctrine and teachings which they contain. However, the tantric texts, the tantras, of which there are several hundred, proper tantras, Shiva Agamas, Vishnu Samhitas, Shakta Nigamas, etc., are written in a kind of code language, so that without an oral explanation from a competent guru, a lot of passages are bound to remain unclear. Furthermore, there are still many untranslated and secret tantric texts under the dust of forgotten or private libraries. All these, plus the extremely varied and complex nature of Tantra, means that it is almost impossible to formulate a single definition. That is why it is important to sketch some of the main features of the tantric system in a detailed manner. Characteristics of Tantrism. Tantra Yoga offers an alternative and practical individual road to salvation, called a sadhana, besides the Vedic one, which is often deemed to be antiquated. It is important to note that the true tantric sadhana is accessible for people of any caste, social status, age, for women as well as men, householders and ascetics. The tantras are presented as the best form of teaching for people living in Kali Yuga, the Dark Age, people of the present day. Kali Yuga is often connected with the Iron Age of the Greek mythology and with the age of the wolf of the northern Edda, deemed to have exactly the same meaning. Therefore, nowadays, when spirituality is declining and man is desperately trying to reintegrate himself into a spiritual reality, it is stated that Tantra is the last and best way to reach salvation. Tantra has a rigorous metaphysical basis of a very non-dualistic nature. However, according to Tantra, an intellectual knowledge is not enough. There also exists a need for a direct personal experience, which becomes possible only through the agency of Shakti, power and intense energy. The concept of Shakti, the feminine energy, is the specific shade of the entire tantric system. Tantra recognizes and expounds mundane aims besides spiritual emancipation as a lawful goal for practitioners. Its aim is to transform the adept into a kind of Superman, who not only has liberated himself of the universe, reaching enlightenment, but also, alike the Supreme Lord himself, is able to rule over it and control its secret forces. This means that tantric methods are applicable for various sorts of practical accomplishments, including astrology, medicine, parapsychology, alchemy, and magic. A number of written sources are preoccupied with describing these supernatural abilities, also known as siddhis, and the ways to attain them. However, there always remains a connecting thread between magical and spiritual. The eminent place given to energy involves a thorough re-evaluation of the body. This is not meant with a sense of object of idolatry, like in the contemporary world, but as a necessary instrument, the unavoidable premise of the spiritual realization. This is due to the frequently used analogy between the macrocosmos and the microcosmos, which is the human body. What is here is everywhere. What is not here is nowhere. A consequence of this fact is the appearance of the Hatha Yoga system in tantric schools, a system which has neither health or well-being as its goal, as it is commonly believed. Tantra teaches the practice of a special variety of yoga, designed to transform the animal instincts and functions by creating an upward movement in the body, along energy channels called nadis, and through centers of force called chakras. The process is most commonly expressed as rising kundalini. Yoga is the elaboration of a subtle physiology, in which the microcosmos of the body is homologized with the macrocosmos and the world of the gods. Tantra emphasizes the metaphysical and operative importance of the feminine principle. For tantrikas, the female goddess, Shakti, represents universal power, which is the energy of bondage and liberation, who veils and reveals, blinds and illuminates. The world is her toy and her mirror. Here we encounter a genuine re-evaluation of the woman, thus being the only spiritual path that acknowledges a total equality between the two sexes, at all levels. The importance of the female manifestation extends to all levels of experience, from daily life to metaphysics. General Introduction to Tantra Yoga, Part 2. Characteristics of Tantrism. Important also are speculations upon the mysterious nature of speech and its constituents. The existence of a phonic creation is assumed in parallel to material phenomena. These revelations are connected with the sounds from the Sanskrit alphabet. Generally short, unintelligible formulas called mantras and bijas have been developed and frequently used, which correlate to various supernormal powers and levels of consciousness by means of a definite yogic procedure which explores cosmic symbolism. Mantra, according to Tantra, is one of the most efficient instruments for reaching higher levels of consciousness, and therefore the overwhelming majority of tantric texts deal to some extent with this topic and its secrets. Tantra also uses other concrete tools such as geometrical designs, called yantras, symbolical representations, mandalas, and gestures, mudras, for practically accomplishing or expressing metaphysical principles. Supernatural worlds are approached by specific methods of meditation, dhyana, visualization, worship, etc. Tantric teachings are structured on several levels. Depending on whom they address, the traditional texts assert the existence of three different types of human beings. Number 1. The divine human, also known as Divya, who in our age practically no longer exists. Number 2. The heroic human, known as Vira, who though rare is best suited for initiation in Tantra. Number 3. The animal, or herd of the gods, known as Pashu, who thrives in our dark age. Tantric texts say that only the Viras, heroes liberated from fear, hate, and observed shame, are qualified to receive in full tantric revelations, while others must first receive an adequate sadhana, which will gradually bring them into a heroic condition. When discussing heroic beings, Tantra is not so very concerned with theology or common morals. It is not a trite anarchism that we are talking about, but the need for transcending some of the appearances of the illusionary world, for reaching the strongest of awakenings. Very often, tantric texts themselves overemphasize this idea in order to banish narrow-minded aspirants. Therefore, they use a symbolical language which seems crude, but is actually loaded with deeper and hidden meanings. For example, to pet the breasts of your sister actually means to arouse the Shakti in Anahata Chakra, or to put the lingam in the maternal cavity actually means to pierce the root chakra, also known as Mulatara, and so on. Most tantric lines are Shivite because of the exceptional aspects of Shiva, which are known as benefactor, terrible, healer, destroyer of evil, supreme androgen, and so forth. Tantra emphasizes the absolute necessity of initiation from a qualified spiritual guide or teacher known as a guru, whose directions for spiritual practice must be consistently followed. That is why tantric texts use a special set of terminology, inaccessible to outsiders, and whose key is handed over orally by the guru. In Tantra, there often appears ambivalence between divine and human existence as complementary aspects of the same awesome, grandiose reality. There is also a far-fetched categorization of reality, especially in the symbolism of the numbers and speech, which leads to the mysterious science of breath and to tattvas. It has connections with the ancient alchemical processes of Siddhas and the body culture of the Hatha Yogins. Tantra and sexology. Nobody will ever succeed to attain perfection through difficult or boring procedures. However, perfection may be easily attained through the satisfaction of all your desires, according to Kularnava Tantra. Tantra and sexology, although quite different in their purpose and approach to sexuality, one being spiritual and the other experimental, surprisingly come together in certain areas. Sexology, the medical scientific study of human sexuality, is in its normal and abnormal physical, psychological, and psychic manifestations, said to have a horizontal approach, quite different from the vertical outlook on lovemaking promoted by tantric teachings. From the tantric point of view, sexuality is considered the engine which processes the alchemic transformations of the sexual substances into energy. Consequently, Tantra may be said to begin at the border of sexuality, taking it much further. Furthermore, sexology gives many descriptions of orgasmic experiences which resemble special states of consciousness described in Tantra. There is a truth which cannot be denied by any of the feminist movements. Man is easily impressed by the beauty of the feminine body and appreciates this very much in a woman. Women may love a man for his intelligence or for the protection he might offer, but a man will always appreciate a woman's intelligence when combined with her beauty. The reactions of a man are clearly different from those of a woman. When a woman admires a man and he manages to seduce her, his physical appearance is no longer that important. The love a man has for a woman, though, is inseparable from desire. The more beautiful the woman, the greater the desire. Eroticism lights the spark of the senses, so that they will cause the fire of union. Man is nurtured by the beauty of the woman's body, and the woman is not mistaken when granting so much importance to this aspect. Was not the woman's body created, with all its details, in order to cause the admiration and desire of a man? According to contemporary ideas, and for reaching a profound sexual harmony, it is advisable that we try the following. Suppress any sexual taboos. Be aware of your genitalia. Have aspiration towards spiritual eroticism. Self-sensibility, both physical and psychic. Strengthening of the genital muscles. The awareness of the fact that a woman is supposed to have a more active role during lovemaking. Specialists in sexology define orgasm as a state of trance accompanied by a temporary loss of contact with reality. Tantra considers orgasm as a beneficial state in which the consciousness expands, the habitual limitations of the human being disappear, the mind is reduced to silence, and ecstasy is experienced. Complete abandonment, transcendence of time and space, the state created by the unification of the opposites. These and other things correlate orgasm with a metaphysical experience. Therefore, in Tantra, enlightenment is also called the cosmic orgasm.
lovemaking, the first beauty. Sexual variety created artificially comes from reading or hearing, imagining some new sexual positions or techniques, as well as from your desire to have new experiences in accordance with your fantasies. No matter what these sexual fantasies are, it is important not to describe them mentally while making them a reality. Thus, we will be able to experience new erotic fusions more intensely without the need for a predetermined scenario. Paradoxically, a person can become a perfectly boring lover even if he's not impotent. When we impose something, the inspiration and the spontaneity disappear. The erotic act is like a genuine act of artistic creation. The erotic act can become boring even for a refined person if you try to follow a certain scenario or have a certain image about the way it's going to unfold, no matter how flexible or innovative it is. This is why it eventually degenerates into an old and tiresome film, or, on the contrary, a grim and uninspired search for novelty. The permanent search for novelty in the erotic fusion can become an endless hunt for something newer, sexier, for positions or attitudes that are worth trying, and also for new partner. Thus, we can come to talk about a decadent, quantitative approach to love. When the erotic act has a map and an aim, so to speak, it becomes predictable, not creative, even if you make all of your plans come true. Many erotic relationships are explosive, fascinating, and charming at first, but they strike out as time goes by. For a lot of couples, their first erotic experiences are the most exciting because of the novelty of the person, of the body they've never touched before, because of all the new sensations and reactions that are making them forget to think. Thus, the genuine, total erotic experience appears to be close to eternity. Yet the moment the novelty disappears and you do things out of habit, your mind begins to wander. Certain disturbing thoughts appear and hinder any attempt to experience completely the present moment. And thus the experience becomes a boring one, as nothing has any sense anymore. The couple keeps on living out of habit, but their erotic experiences are absent. In a lot of these cases, either the man or the woman will continue having a normal sexual response. They already know each other's bodies and needs, and the most efficient ways of producing an orgasm, and they will act that way. They will be able to have an orgasm, although in reality they are far from a genuine erotic experience, and they will continue to grow apart from each other. We can call this situation masturbation in two. Moreover, making love while having a number of interior commentaries can lead to unpleasant situations. For example, if the two see the erotic experience differently, one seeking an immediate explosive orgasm and the other looking to savor a contemplative amorous state, it will eventually lead to the disappearance of their desire to make love, and this can happen unconsciously. They break up eventually, but do not really know why. This change of attitude is valid for usual people. Some have wrongly concluded that the erotic emotion leaves a couple after a while. This is not necessarily true, and we will see that in what follows. For an aware and wise couple, there is no reason why the intensity and the quality of their erotic and sexual experiences should diminish. In case that those feelings have disappeared, there is a possibility to recover them. They can be regenerated and even amplified. The reason why a couple loses the genuine erotic experience is not the time that the two of them have spent together nor the intimacy. When a couple that was once a happy one finds out that the ardent part of their erotic lives is gone, then we can talk about a real problem that can be brought up for discussion. In such cases, it is recommended that the two should think about the wonderful feelings they had at the beginning, or any other harmonious feelings during the erotic act. That is what tradition, both Oriental and Occidental, teaches us in order to create the premises of a mystical union and to determine the appearance of a superior state of consciousness. Freud, erotic specialist Dr. Kinsey, or Masters and Johnson, all of them, for different reasons, named orgasm as the ultimate aim of an erotic call. They've also talked about the intense pleasure it generates. Yet, in mystical sexuality, we approach a new superior state of consciousness, born from warm and happy intimacy, where there is no rush, where there is a complete opening to the person that you love, where there is no end and also no aim in the usual meaning of the word. There are many sexual scenarios that control and rule the sex lives of people. They can be categorized after the aim of the erotic activity, after the psychological motivation behind each aim. For example, if the aim is to be a good lover, the inner motive is pride. The sexual scenario would be trying to be technical and carrying out different sexual novelties. If the aim is to eliminate strains or stress, the inner motive would be anxiety and stress. A sexual scenario would be masturbation that leads to explosive orgasms, done either alone or with a partner. If the aim is to deny sexuality or to avoid it because it is a sin, the inner motive is guilt. A sexual scenario would be neurotic celibacy. If the aim is to end as soon as possible, the inner motive is duty. And a sexual scenario would be submission until the partner reaches his or her explosive orgasm. If the aim is to maintain the existing status, the inner motive can be routine or habit. And the sexual scenario would be doing the same things over and over. If the aim is just to be a normal person, the inner motive is shame. A sexual scenario is not coming into conflict with social standards and requirements. If the aim is to avoid intimacy, the inner motive is fear. And the sexual scenario is short-term relationships accompanied by feelings of promiscuity. If the aim is to have children, the inner motive is reproduction. And the sexual scenario is fertilization. If the aim is to enjoy lovemaking, the inner motive is desire, love, and affection. And the sexual scenario is making love. If the aim is to reach a superior state of conscience, the inner motive is pure love and unity, and there is no sexual scenario. Hello and welcome to Tantra FM, the key to your heart. I'm your host, Amaris. Let us perform a meditation with the following theme, the state of tender passion. In order to help our concentration and to create a better resonance with the aspect we're meditating upon, we shall use proper musical support. Sit down on a chair with your spine straight, or assume a meditation pose such as Sukhasana, Vajrasana, or Padmasana. For those of you that are still unfamiliar with these positions, you can learn about them on www.shivashakti.com. Make sure your spine, your neck, and your head are in an upward position, and they form a straight line. Relax your entire body. Empty your mind and acquire a strong inner focus. Do not allow anything to disturb your concentration at this point. Start breathing deeply and rhythmically. With each inhalation, imagine that you're bringing peace and harmony into your being. Also, with each exhalation, imagine that you are eliminating all tension, stress, and anything else that might disturb you right now. Now we're ready to begin. It is time to focus our mind and meditate upon the following aspect: the state of tender passion. Let us begin.
Thank you. Thank you. That's it for now. Thanks for joining us and see you next time.